Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Alexander II, one of the last of the Romanovs in the 19th century. I believe he was assassinated. He freed the serfs, and for his reward, the anarchists, the people like Lenin's brother, a lot of those what would be considered terrorists in Russia, threw a grenade at his coach. And it didn't hit him, but he got out to help one of his wounded liberty men, and another bomb was thrown and blew his legs off. Very typical of bombs of those days. And, of course, we had this scene in Boston two weeks ago. Excuse me. If you come to San Francisco years ago, there were out at Ocean Beach, one of the sites was the Sutro Baths. Adolf Sutro was a German-Jewish immigrant to the United States, settled in California. One of the great French presidents, Raymond Poincaré, he had quite a background of achievement, and I believe he was the president of France during the World War I period, and we'll get to that with Gabriel Princip in a minute. The great William Randolph Hearst was born in 1863, and of course, Citizen Kane movie depicts his life. If you ever get to California, get tickets to go down to see Hearst Castle. It's quite an architectural achievement. Still hasn't been finished. Hearst was a great collector. Unfortunately, his newspapers, most of them have failed. But they're into other things. I think they own the History Channel and a few other things. In Hearst Communication, so they moved on. One of the greatest raconteurs and one of the greatest English conductors of the 19th and into the 20th century, Sir Thomas Beecham, and he had quite a wicked sense of humor. And here we'll play a short interview, his view on the difference between modern and good music.
The position of modern music in the world today differs considerably from anything that we have had before in the history of music. For the last 20 years, and I am of course referring to serious music, there has been neither in the domain of opera or the concert room a single truly successful work. What I mean by successful a work that has appeal to at once, or after a short time, gained the affections of the large public in every country.
Now we have, I can't find it in our archives, we have over 1,000 recordings. Beecham made the first stereo recording back in the very late 20s when he brought his orchestra, the Royal Philharmonic, to BASF, the German tape manufacturer, and they did an early stereo recording. Now, the name Beecham, his family made their money in medicine, pharmaceuticals, and you hear the name Beecham today, and Sir Thomas Beecham used the money that he inherited to set up the great Royal Philharmonic Orchestra in Britain, and gave many concerts, many premieres, many operas. He had a wicked sense of humor, and I have some other interviews with him, so we'll play them later in the week. This is also a date, April 29th, when we had two other conductors, another English conductor, Sir Malcolm Sargent. He didn't live as long as Beecham, and he was very aristocratic. His specialty was the Handel's Messiah. He's from India, but he's Farsi and Zoroaster. Zubin Mehta, he was most recently conductor of the New York Philharmonic and of the Los Angeles Philharmonic, and he's done quite a few recordings. He studied in Vienna, did quite a few recordings, and he also gave the first recording of Turandot in China. And we have that recording. Let's see if I can get it out of our archives. Among the other birthdays today, we have another musician, a great, very classic black musician. His name was Duke Ellington. That's what he was known by, but his birth name was Edward Kennedy Ellington. I don't think it's related to the Irish, the Boston Irish Kennedy family. Emperor Hirohito, he was the one of the last emperors of Japan who had total authority, and some people think he was a war criminal. He came in, his father was kind of a weakling. He came in the 20s and went straight through up until 1989 when he died. And a lot of people wanted to hang Hirohito, but General MacArthur, who had been to Japan when his father was military attaché and governor of the Philippines, MacArthur had understood the Japanese, and he decided that Hirohito shouldn't be hanged but could be useful in restoring and rebuilding Japan. Some people think he made a big mistake. One of the Rothschilds were born on this day, Jacob Rothschild, and the Rothschilds have these banks. They are also connected, I think, to the Bank of California here, and, of course, the Banque de Nationale Paris. The story of the Rothschilds is started in Germany in the 17th century, and Jews were forbidden to own land. So they got into banking I think music and things like that. And Rothschild, the founding father, had four or five sons, and he sent them to different countries, France, Germany, and of course into England. And we have today also one of the great runners out of Kansas. I think he ran for Congress in more ways than one, and won. Jim Runyon, R-Y-U-N, conservative Republican. And then we had Daniel Day Lewis. Now, he's a very interesting guy. He's one of the non-Americans who played Lincoln very successfully, most recently in the film Lincoln. His grandmother was Jewish from either Lithuania or Poland, and his father is English, so he's a mix. Among the deaths today, he died of tuberculosis, was Gabriel Princip. He was the teenager who shot Archduke Ferdinand, and that was a freaky thing. Ferdinand wanted his uncle to die, Emperor Franz Joseph, who had been Emperor of Austria, Austria-Hungary since 1848. And he was a doddering old man, and trying to keep the whole the polyglot Austro-Hungarian Empire together, the Habsburgs, and Ferdinand wanted to do reforms. Now, Franz Joseph had a son and was involved in a sex scandal and ended up in suicide called Meyerling. We have a rare film in our archives made during the 30s. It's not available anyplace else as far as I know, but we have, it's part of our archives, and we may play a clip one of these days. It starred Charles Boyer. But anyway, the Serbs wanted to get the Austrians out of that what became known as Yugoslavia or the Balkans, and they were nationalists, and they were supported by Russia. And Gabriel Princip was this teenager who was recruited to try to assassinate Franz Ferdinand when he came on his tour of the Balkans there in Serbia. And it was a freak accident. What had happened was Franz Ferdinand's chauffeur made the wrong turn, and there was Gabriel Princip waiting to shoot him, and the car stalled, and Princip went up and shot the Grand Duke and his wife. And the Germans, Kaiser Wilhelm, goaded Franz Joseph into making unreasonable demands. He knew that the Serbs would not accept these demands, even though they were partially responsible. So that precipitated World War One. The two shots heard around the world. And that was the end of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. They had one more emperor, Emperor Otto, and I think his wife's name was Vita. And, of course, there's some Habsburgs around today in Austria. As my German friends and my German side of my family used to say, we were Nazis, the Austrians still are. Among the other, now talking about Austria, we have the great Jewish, I think he probably was what they call cultural, Ludwig Wittgenstein, came from a wealthy Jewish family, and he died on this day, a philosopher, and his brother lost his hand in World War One, and Maurice Ravel wrote a piano concerto for the left hand. This was dedicated to Wittgenstein's brother. And remember the great mystery man and the movies such as when was killed in the shower, Alfred Hitchcock, and a lot of the mystery films. Hitchcock went to Catholic boarding school in England, and when he was interviewed, he said, they asked him, how did you learn to build up suspense in your movies? And he said, if we did something wrong in the morning, we wouldn't know what our punishment was until the end of the day, and the suspense would build up. What would the punishment be? What would the punishment be? And apparently that imbued in Hitchcock a quality that he later used in his films, building up the suspense. And who was that? Anthony Perkins, and I think who's that blonde who was in the shower? And of course, they've got this thing on cable called Bates Motel, which is kind of a hack replay, rehash of what happened in Psycho. And of course, Kim Novak and Jimmy Stewart was in the film here. Vertigo, and as I mentioned before, I was sitting in Kim Novak's desk. She was several years ahead of me in Dolly Sonsham's class at Wright College, in a speech class, and Kim Novak was from the west side, north side of Chicago, called Wicker Park, and her first name was Marilyn. And later she married Richard Johnson, and they got divorced. And then she married a veterinarian, and she lives down the coast here in California. And she's the only collect or breed llamas. She's the only one who can do it here in the United States. They stopped that. and she gave up her career. She started in, I think, two films with Jimmy Stewart, and she did one with Tyrone Power called The Eddie Duchin Story. And Eddie Duchin was this famous society pianist in New York. that crowd like Noel Coward and all that, this society people who have these bar pianists and play for these dances. let's see, who else? Now, in the events today, we have important the, let's see, the Flemish, Flemish woman went to England and she introduced starching of lemons. That's where this comes from. Before that, they didn't starch lemons. Also, talking about the continent, we have Joan of Arc, who dressed in men's clothing, and she defeated the English, but they later decided to get even with her. And when she was captured or turned over, they tried her for being a transvestite. That was implied in those days, and burned her at the stake. But that's how she got into heaven and became a saint. She did ride with a guy named Gilles de Rais, who was her lieutenant. Gilles de Rais was one of the biggest sexual predators of all time. It is estimated that he tortured, mutilated, and raped both boys, young boys and girls, and the figure is about 1,000. Gilles de Rais. He was later executed for his crimes. Now, the origin of Red China's bellicose comments about Taiwan or Formosa as a traditional province of China, this goes back to the Ming Dynasty back in 1661, where, and you can see it on the blog talk here today, where what was China and all of its province, the same story as with Tibet. So this is where this claim comes from, that the main, in the 16th century, Formosa, as was known then, was a province of Imperial China. At one point, the Japanese occupied Formosa, and then after World War II, it became Taiwan. And, of course, what had happened was Chiang Kai-shek, after he was defeated and had to flee the mainland back in 1949-1950, the nationalists came over to Formosa and took over the country, and they ruled it ever since. And the native, what's left of the native Formosans, have still resented these mainland Chinese exiles coming into, quote, their country. On this day also, we have the Act of Union. This is, when you hear the term the British Isles, that means Wales, England, and Scotland, and Northern Ireland. And in 1707, after the defeat of Bonnie Prince Charlie, the Catholic, incompetent general, by Stinking Billy, George, one of George II's sons, the English consolidated their hold over the, quote, the British Isles, and the Scots agreed to the Act of Union with England. So that's why it's called the British Isles today. But there was devolution, and Scotland may become independent on its own. And if you remember, if you're wondering where rubber came from, in 1813, rubber was patented. We also had the end of the Crimean War, which plays into what's going on in Syria today. The Crimean War was fought by the British and the French and the Turks to keep the Russian bear, the Russians, out of, they wanted a Mediterranean port. And this is what is behind Russia's meddling and backing Assad in Syria. They want this warm weather port for the Russian fleet. This has been their demand for centuries, and it was part of the Afghan war, that the Russians have, the British have always bottled up the Russian bear in the Black Sea and keeping them out of the Mediterranean, even though Russian naval ships do go through the Dardanelles, even today. In 1857, if you come to San Francisco, you'll see what was one of the most beautiful postings in the U.S. Army, where the 6th Army had the San Francisco Presidio. And, of course, Presidio has its origin back, you know, when the Spanish ruled California and Mexico. In 1943, the great Lutheran and anti-Nazi patriot Dietrich Bonhoeffer was arrested by the Nazis and was later executed. He was an opponent of abortion, and you'll see this little clip on this blog talk today. And in 1945, Dachau was liberated by the Americans and all these people, those who survived, and some today, gratefully welcomed the Americans. Now, what is of interest to the Steve Nary U.S. Navy sailor Case and Juan Pifre is that Juan Pifre, the sexual predator who preyed on many, several young military recruits here in San Francisco, this Argentinian illegal alien who was also a member of a prominent Argentine banking family, that bank, the bank keeper, the Bank of the Province of Buenos Aires, is believed to be the repository or had received assets stolen from Jews and Gentiles in Nazi-occupied Europe, and was believed to have also helped Eichmann and Mengele and Skorzeny, all these terrible Nazis, International Tribunal at Nuremberg was trying to capture and bring back there for trial for war crimes. Also on this day, 1945, before Eva Braun and Hitler committed suicide, Hitler married Eva Braun, his longtime mistress. Also on this date, 1607, the Anglican Church, as it's known in England, or the Episcopal, as it's now known, set up, established itself in Cape Henry, Virginia. So that's the origin of it today. Excuse me. Now, among the other things that people should be concerned about is there's a move in the California legislature by this moron. I think he's from Watsonville, maybe one of these, what we call the brown fascists. These are the Latino, Hispanic, well, there's a debate as whether they're Latino or Hispanic, but they have the name, and they support Reconquista, which means that they have embraced the agenda, which is bogus, that Mexico, that the Southwest what is now the states of New Mexico, Arizona, and California, were stolen from Mexico after the end of the Mexican War. We paid for it. We didn't steal it fair and square, as somebody used to say. Anyway, what they've done in an attempt to defranchise Americans even further is to pass a bill, it hasn't been going through the other house, and it's certainly going to be challenged, and the bill allows non-citizens to sit on American juries. Now, the whole legal concept, our American legal concept, is that a plaintiff or a defendant, if he or she's involved in a jury trial, the jury has to be of his peers. Now, an illegal alien or a non-citizen is not their peer. That's the basic thing. And also, these people have human rights. They don't have American civil rights. We need to make that distinction. So this is another attempt to disenfranchise Americans further because of this radical left of this neo-Nazi national socialist agenda. And there are other things. They wanted to allow non-citizens to vote in elections. They tried it in Chicago. It didn't pass. And they proposed it here. And ironically, interestingly, the guy that was behind us, Carlos Petroni, was an associate of Juan Pifre and also another controversial Argentinian. We don't know if he was in this country legally. We'll be back Wednesday. I'm losing my voice. And we shall update things. We'll have more videos up there. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker. I guess none of these politicians play poker because they'd probably lose. So excuse me. So we're in right now with politics and poker. We'll be back Wednesday at 4 p.m. And in the meantime, if you haven't gone to our YouTube site, go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony. Up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going
to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We got to pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions like
who to pick,
how to play, what to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrace.
Bet 'em.
Little trades, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll fold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Vanyashinkovic. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Running neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
At 4 p.m., this is Peter Paul Brazola. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Good night.